Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of my basement here on Long Island in New York, it is a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast, right here on CBS Sports Radio. We welcome you in, whether you're listening to us across one of your great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 206, or the radio.com application. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That's the number that gets you on in. Could always interact with me on the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. Shoot me your tweets. Send me a follow, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B, also on our network's account as well, at CBS Sports Radio. Got Tom DiBenedetto back in our New York City headquarters, also on location, Mikey B and Stuart Kovacs. And one way or another, we're all coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Not one, not two, but three awesome guests scheduled to appear today as we do say goodbye to you at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. But before we do that, we'll be joined by Lincoln Kennedy, the former NFL offensive lineman, now a part of the Las Vegas Raiders broadcast team at 7:20 p.m. Eastern, 4:20 p.m. Pacific. Then at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific, Amina Hassan will join us to chat a little hoops. And coming up in the final hour of the show, we'll chat some Atlanta Falcons, do a little first and goal with David Archer. That's at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific. Also got to get to a news brief. Onsides, offsides, since today is kind of like a Friday show, even though for you it is Thursday and for me it is Thursday. But down deep it does feel like a Friday because I am off tomorrow, heading down to the Jersey Shore for a few days. So you'll be entertained tomorrow by Chris Moore. But let's get to it. And let's make the most that we do have of the next 4 hours. And I got to start off with the NBA. About 20 minutes before the show did commence, I knew that we were going to be talking about the Lakers. Their game yesterday up against OKC did not go the way that they wanted it to. Anthony Davis did not play well. And the Oklahoma City Thunder, led by Billy Donovan and company, defeated the Lakers by a final score of 105-86. So that makes it 4 games in the bubble. We've seen 2 wins for the Lakers where Anthony Davis has played well, and then 2 losses for the Lakers to Toronto and OKC where Anthony Davis has not played well. We've also seen some inconsistencies with the Milwaukee Bucks. They got a victory where they didn't play a great game up against Boston on that Friday, July 31st, then back-to-back losses to Houston and to Brooklyn. And the Brooklyn one was absolutely disgraceful, even though Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton didn't play in the second half. And I was anticipating to get on the air today and question and maybe look at the Milwaukee Bucks, because at halftime today, when they were going up against the Miami Heat, who are a good basketball team, once again, though, without Jimmy Butler. So this is a game that you would have thought that the Bucks easily should have won, except you know in the back of your mind they should have easily won against the Brooklyn Nets, and the Brooklyn Nets ended up having a victory and were actually the largest underdog to win a game outright in the NBA for quite some time. And this Brooklyn carryover, I guess, for the Bucks, we were wondering if it was going to be legit, and at halftime, I was seeing what Miami and the Milwaukee score was, and Miami was up 73-56. There's a little over 2 minutes to go in the third quarter, and now they're going back and forth on a seesaw. At one moment, the Bucks were up, then the Heat were up, and we look right now with 2:13 to go in the third. Miami is actually up 91-88. Not that long ago. The Bucks actually, though, did take a one-point lead. So we'll see how this game does play out. But with that being said, the two preeminent teams in the league, when you look at the Eastern Conference and Western Conference, when this NBA bubble did restart and did get underway, it's been, all right, Lakers, Lakers, Lakers. Also, you factor in the Clippers in the West, and then the talk has been the Bucks. But as you know, and if you listen to this show and you listen to any show around the country, really, there's only been three teams throughout the year that have been considered title contenders. That's Milwaukee and the two LA teams. And so far in the bubble, we have not seen clean basketball. We've not seen the level that we're accustomed to from the Los Angeles Lakers and also the Milwaukee Bucks. So where's the level of concern is my question to you out of the gate. And I know last night, LeBron James, who's not going to play tonight, we were all looking forward to Lakers and Rockets would be a good game to watch. It gets started in the final hour of the show. Then when the show ends, I would sit on my couch and watch James Harden and Russell Westbrook go up against LeBron James and Anthony Davis. LeBron's not going to play tonight because of what they're calling some groin soreness. And then Russell Westbrook is not expected to play as well because of a right quad contusion. So you are expected to see Anthony Davis. You will see James Harden. That feel, though, of excitement for a regular season game, because that's what it is in the bubble, but that feeling of excitement with the Rockets and the Lakers, it does go out the window when you don't have Russell Westbrook playing and you don't have LeBron James playing. But let's first start off when we talk about the level of concern with the Lakers first, and then we'll get to the Bucks. When I read some comments last night from LeBron James, which basically said it's tough adjusting to the bubble, there's a lot of things that go on that people aren't privy to. You were also with your family for such a long period of time during the coronavirus shutdown, and now you're away for your family, and the family is not allowed in until after the first round to the postseason. I'm not saying that stuff isn't important, and for LeBron, with how close he is and how great of a dad that he is to his two sons and also his daughter, and how great of a husband he is, I'm sure after spending all that time with your kids and being the dad that you are missing your kids because it's been pretty much the entire month of July, and you're probably going to have to go through the entire month of August without seeing your kids. So that can be difficult. Yes, there's FaceTime, but there's nothing like, I would imagine, for LeBron James being in the same room as his kids and also his wife. So could that weigh on a person? Yes, it can. However, I've never in the past, and I know these are unprecedented times, heard about family really being an excuse for LeBron James. I don't think that there is much stock to be put in there. I'm not saying it's not important, but I don't believe that's a valid excuse right now in terms of the reason why the Lakers are struggling. The reason why the Lakers are struggling right now is their depth has taken a hit. There's no Avery Bradley. Rajon Rondo is hurt right now. And I don't even think that's the major factor. But when your depth does take a hit, it makes people like LeBron James, who should be in second place for the NBA's MVP this year, and Anthony Davis, who's a top 10 player in the sport, arguably top 5 player in the sport, it makes their roles a little bit extra important. Not that they weren't important during the regular season before the shutdown. However, you know that in these 8 games, everything's going to be magnified. Everyone's going to be watching these games. Why? Because we've been deprived of sports, especially the NBA, since March 11th. And sure, you get some golf back. I know the PGA Championship's going on right now. And Tiger had a good day. Brooks Koepka had a good day as well. We saw some NASCAR come back. But really, the major sports coming back, your hockey, your baseball, and your basketball, those are the sports that in America, people in the majority, like in the majority way, care about the most. So when LeBron and the Lakers come back and they don't have all that great of depth on their roster, you don't have any games where you could take off or you can't afford to play well, because even though these games really mean nothing, and that's probably why it's been lackadaisical for the Lakers, they may mean nothing in the standings. And we already know the Lakers have clinched the one seed in the Eastern Conference, but the way that talking heads like yours truly and also fans react to it are going to be, the Lakers, they've not been a clean product. They've been 2-2. Could this be a team that maybe we anointed going to win the championship or going to the finals? Maybe that was a little bit premature. In reality, right now, it's a mixture of rust, and it's also a mixture of just not having to go all out, pedal to the metal, and let's turn it up from 0 to 100 real quick. They don't need to do that right now, and that's why you see some games where you go, all right, even though Toronto is a heck of a basketball team, if that game actually mattered, are the Raptors winning 107-92? And OKC, if that game actually mattered, is OKC winning 105-86? Probably not. So it's that balance right now, and that's what I think a lot of teams are trying to figure out with no home court advantage and it meaning very little inside this bubble other than what matchup you prefer. But it's not as if you're a home seed, you get your raucous crowd behind you because there's no fans there other than those virtual fans. And don't get me wrong, I saw Shaq was a virtual fan today. I saw last night during the Lakers game, Lil Wayne was a virtual fan. So that stuff could be entertaining, but the players, they are not affected by that compared to if you were LeBron and you knew you had a series, a seven-game series in the Staples Center compared to having to go into a tough environment to go play. So really, I don't think the determination is there for the Lakers. Can you question and maybe say, well, does that maybe linger over? You could get Portland in the first round. And don't get me wrong, Portland is a team that if they are the eighth seed, they are better than your normal eighth seed because of all the injuries they suffered this year. And now they're healthy with Nurkic and Collins. You have Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. Carmelo Anthony as well has found his role with this team. Gary Trent Jr. as well. You have Hassan Whiteside off the bench. So there are a team in Portland that maybe they test the Lakers a little bit, but still you would anticipate if we put a poll question up right now, who's going to win the first round playoff series? If it is Lakers and Trailblazers, I would still say probably 75% of the vote is going to be leaning towards the Los Angeles Lakers. So right now, because these games don't really matter for the Lakers, I'm not pressing the panic button. I'm not concerned with the Los Angeles Lakers right now. Something, though, that I'm realizing with the Lakers, and this may be a bizarre statement, this may be a funny statement, and you may say to me, Zach, what are you talking about? You're absolutely crazy. But I think you could make the argument that Anthony Davis actually may be the most valuable player on the Lakers to their success for this postseason. And I understand it contradicts what I just said when I believe that LeBron James is going to finish second in the MVP race this year behind Giannis Antetokounmpo. And you could say to me, Zach, how is the guy the second most valuable player in the league? But you just said he may not be the most valuable player on his team. You got to think about this for a second. If this was just LeBron and the Lakers like it was last year, and I know, let's say he's healthy, they're probably a top four, top five team. They could go on some run where maybe they are like the Cavs for all those years in the Eastern Conference where, you know, not as easy because the Cavs always got to the finals because there wasn't really a challenger in the Eastern Conference and there's challengers in the Western Conference, but he would be a playoff team if fully healthy and there was no Anthony Davis as a running mate. With Anthony Davis, though, on that team, you are expected to win a championship. And yes, I do think LeBron James is clearly a better player than Anthony Davis. When we look, though, at the individual success inside the bubble and how it correlates to team success, LeBron hasn't played great, where Anthony Davis, when he plays great, they win. When he scores 34 against the Clippers, they win. When he scores 42 against the Jazz, they win. However, when LeBron does his traditional and typical triple-double-like stuff and Anthony Davis only scores 14 points against the Raptors, they lose. When he only scores 9 points against the Thunder, like he did last night, they lose. So the point I'm making is Anthony Davis's value to the Lakers may be the most important storyline inside the bubble. And I really believe that as the Lakers go, it's going and how far they go this year. And I think they're going to win the championship. I said that a few weeks ago. I really believe it's going to be based off if Anthony Davis can consistently be that dominant number two to LeBron James. Because LeBron, even on a bad night, is going to give you 23, 24, 25 points. Is going to have, like 10 rebounds and 8 assists. He's going to do that even on a bad night. But when you have depth issues and you're relying on guys like Deion Waiters and Alex Caruso and KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and you're relying on those guys to get the job done, you need Anthony Davis to be the ultimate Robin to LeBron, who is Batman. That's what you need. So I look at Anthony Davis, and we talk about, you know, Kyle Kuzma and guys like Caruso and Waiters, and we talk about those guys and their importance. One of those guys could give you 16, 15 points on any given night. The success of the Lakers is going to be based off the success of the dynamic duo in the bubble. And I don't have concerns about LeBron. I'm not saying I have concerns about Anthony Davis, but you look at it right now when you go 34-42 and then 14-9, is it just the lack of motivation with really these games for the Lakers meaning nothing? So the value of Anthony Davis is one of the biggest storylines, maybe the biggest storyline with the bubble getting underway in Orlando. Overall, though, I'm not concerned about the Lakers, because if I ask you who's the team that's going to dethrone them, I still only think it's one answer, and that's the Los Angeles Clippers, a team they already defeated when the NBA season did pick back up. I know they didn't have Montrezl Harrell in that game. I know they didn't have Lou Williams as well, but the Lakers didn't have their full roster from the last time these two teams played. And if you get LeBron and Anthony Davis playing the way that they did up against the Lakers, and LeBron may be playing a little bit more of a cleaner game, those are games that the Lakers can still win four times in a seven-game series up against the Clippers. Other than that, you know, who is the team that is really going to make the Lakers shake in their boots? You know, who is that team other than the Clippers? I know Michael Porter Jr. with the Nuggets had back-to-back 30-point games. I think it was 37 and 30. No Jamal Murray for them so far. We'll see if he plays tonight. No, Jokic, the Joker, he is a tremendous player, but I don't think the Nuggets are ready to go to an NBA Finals. Is it Houston? I'm not all that impressed with Houston. I get they play the small ball. I get people love Harden. I get people love Russell Westbrook as well. However, until James Harden steps up in a big postseason game, in a game that could swing momentum in a series or can eliminate a team like the Lakers or a team like the Clippers, until he makes big shots in those games, I'm not expecting Houston to punch through and defeat the Lakers or the Clippers this year. Is it Portland? Portland's a nice team. They have a good roster in the Western Conference Finals last year. I don't think the Lakers, even though they wouldn't want to play them in the first round, because you would rather have Memphis, you'd rather have Phoenix, and Phoenix off to a very good start inside the bubble. They're up on Indiana trying to go to 4-0. And Bridges has done a nice job on TJ Warren. But when you look at all those teams that are vying for the eighth seed, yeah, Portland's the best one. So maybe you just want to avoid them because they're Portland and you could have an easier time against somebody else. But if the Lakers play Portland, the Lakers should still beat Portland. So when I see that, it's still the same storyline. I still believe it's going to be the Lakers and the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals. And then we flip real quickly to the Eastern Conference. It's the same thing for the Bucks. I am not concerned with the Bucks right now, even though they have really not played a clean game inside the bubble so far. And they're actually down early in the fourth, 100-94 to the Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler. I'm not pressing the panic button on them yet either. Because I ask you, who's that team that's going to defeat Milwaukee? Sixers now have Ben Simmons out indefinitely, and that team never gets it together anyway. The Celtics, good team. I probably would have said the Celtics before the season did pick back up. But really, you know, I like Miami. They're gritty. I like the Pacers. They're gritty. But let's be real. I think there is one team that can actually defeat the Bucks, and I'm still thinking the Bucks go to the finals, but that is the team that won the championship last year. And I know they don't have Kawhi Leonard anymore, but that doesn't matter this year. However, that is a mental thing with the way Middleton played in that series, and I expect Middleton and Giannis to have big postseasons. If they get into a seven-game series with the Raptors, and let's say the Raptors take game one, then we will really learn a lot in game two or any time in that series. If it's 2-1, if it's 3-2, we will learn a lot about the Bucks to see really how far they did come from a year ago. So this regular season, all throughout the year, for the Bucks, it's been called irrelevant, and wait and see what happens in the postseason. So the fact that the last few games didn't work out for them, I'm not pressing the panic button. And for the Lakers, when they already clinched the one seed, and even clinching the one seed doesn't mean anything in this NBA bubble, or means very little. You know, take a little victory here. We all know what it's coming down to for LeBron and Anthony Davis. It's championship or bust. And still, it's a 50-50 shot that the Lakers get to the finals, because the two best teams in the West are the Lakers and the Clippers. Is there any concern for you, though? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. And it's sponsored by our good friends at Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Is there any concern out of you, the NBA fan, with the Lakers and the Bucks right now? It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Live, he's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
All right, NBA scores today. Disappointment, disappointment for the New Orleans Pelicans. Those first two games, I think, are really going to come back to bite them. But you had five games left, and you see the schedule that you got dealt. I know you had two games with the Kings, so you lose this one. You can't afford to lose another game. Pelicans lose to the Kings today, 140 to 125. 8:30 to go in the fourth. Heat up by two over the Bucks. Bucks had a huge third quarter. They were down big at halftime. Now it's a two-point game with 8.5 to go. And you had two undefeated teams inside the bubble square off today. A red-hot T.J. Warren, he cooled off a bit. In this one, I was watching a little bit of it. Mikal Bridges did a nice job, and then did read afterwards that Mikal Bridges really did a special job today. You did have, in this one, T.J. Warren only have 16 points. Victor Oladipo had 16. Malcolm Brogdon had 25. Miles Turner, 17 for the Pacers. But the Suns, they get a victory. They now have 30 wins on the year. They do punch their ticket to a victory today, 114 to 99, up against the Pacers. And look at this Suns team. Cameron Johnson gives you 14. DeAndre Ayton gives you 23 and 10. Mikal Bridges, good defense, also played 10. The hero from the other game against the Clippers. Devin Booker gives you 20. Ricky Rubio gives you 13. Cameron Payne gives you 15, and Dario Saric gives you 16. So a lot of depth there for the Phoenix Suns. A lot of players getting double-digit figures. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 players in double-digit points today for the Phoenix Suns, and they get that 114 to 99 victory. That race for the 8th seed is going to be absolutely bonkers. And I know the Eastern Conference 8-9 race or the race for the 8th seed doesn't mean anything. This race to be the 8th or the 9th seed in the Western Conference is going to be spectacular. Memphis just loses Jaren Jackson Jr. They have 32 wins. Portland, they do play tonight. They have 31 wins. The Spurs have 29 wins. You have the Suns in front of them, just got 30. The Kings, they have 29 as well. The Pelicans have 29 too. So you see the teams and you see the matchup that you probably want. It's probably going to be Portland and the Pelicans. However, with the Pelicans not well, and yes, they could win their, I think they have four games left. They could win those four games, get them to 33. You'll have a shot, but it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. So I do think Portland will be one of those 8 or 9 seeds. Then the question is, who do you want as the ninth? If it's not going to be the Pelicans, why not the Suns? Why not the Suns with the way that they're playing with four victories inside the bubble? So good job by Phoenix. And when we talked about them, when we were doing the bubble breakdown, we didn't really give Phoenix much of a chance, if we're being fair. We did say, though, they're playing with house money, so anything could happen. And so far for Phoenix, you got to give them credit in what they've been able to do inside the bubble, because when you look at it, their games, they're four victories. Wizards okay, Mavericks impressive, Clippers impressive, Pacers impressive. So you get one easy opponent, three tougher opponents, and you get three victories up against them. A Pacers team that was rolling and is gritty, a Clippers team where you have that pump and the turnaround by Booker. He puts the shot in at the buzzer. And a Mavericks team, which is a good team, with Kristaps Porzingis and also, obviously, Luka Doncic. The next game for the Suns is up against the Miami Heat on August 8th. Let me just take a look here at the Suns' remaining schedule. You got Miami on the 8th, Oklahoma City on the 10th, Philadelphia on the 11th, and then Dallas on the 13th. So if they get, let's say they split. If they split, they'll get 32 wins. That's not going to be enough, because you already got Memphis at 32 and Portland's already at 31. You're going to have to probably win all four of the remaining games, if not at a bare minimum three. And we'll see what Phoenix can continue to do. But a nice job by the Suns this early on. All right, today was opt-out day in the National Football League. This was the deadline. What does that really mean, though? You know, if you're a player, and I get the salary concerns and the stipend that you could get and the advance for the salary from $150,000 to $300,000, what happens if a player shows up and says, you know what, this isn't safe, I'm going to opt out? And by the way, there was some thought that, and Tre'Davious Wright did reveal of the Bills, that there was a thought about him opting out, and he was still uncertain. We talked about that yesterday. His girlfriend's, one of the family members of the girlfriend, did pass away because of COVID-19. I was reading that earlier. But Jamie Collins, I saw this from Dave Burkett, who covers the Lions for the Detroit Free Press. And he talked about basically, yes, the opt-out deadline is today, but Collins said, we need more time. There's still going to be problems down the road. And if the virus affects someone close to them, they'll want to opt out. Deadline day won't mean anything. Now, in terms of salary, in terms of what it means for my financial structure, yeah, that could mean something to the player. However, if a player wakes up tomorrow, a day after the deadline, and goes, hey, my mom got COVID-19, or my kid got COVID-19, or my wife got COVID-19, or I just don't feel comfortable with what's going on inside the organization, or if we see an outbreak in a team or an outbreak on a different team, and a player goes, I want out, that player is going to be allowed to opt out. Depending on how, you know, what it means from all the financials, I don't know, but you could still have players opt out. So here's what we're going to do since we're up against it. Right now, I think the two biggest storylines in the AFC and the NFC, when we're looking at just football for this upcoming year, and put aside COVID for a second, I know that's tough to do, I'm just talking about on the field storylines. I think in the AFC, the biggest storyline is, what will New England be this year? After their two decades of excellence, now no more Tom Brady. You bring in Cam Newton. You had a bunch of players opt out, including Dante Hightower, Marcus Cannon, and Patrick Chung. I believe the most important story, or the more juicy, you know, the juiciest story in the AFC is, what will New England be this year after their two decade run of excellence? And then in the NFC, it's Tom Brady on a new team in Tampa, and if Tampa will live up to the hype. What are the other bigger stories this year in the AFC and the NFC? We'll discuss next. We'll be right back.
Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
Now under 2 minutes to play between the Bucks and the Heat. I know no Jimmy Butler for Miami. Bucks up 123 to 111. I get basketball is a game of runs, and especially when you're missing Jimmy Butler, I know people aren't going to be like, wow, what an impressive win for the Bucks. However, that's on the surface, because when you're down 73 to 56 at halftime, to very quickly get that lead back in the third quarter or go on a seesaw ride in the third quarter where you take the lead, then lose the lead, take the lead, then lose the lead, and then at this performance in the fourth, it's a nice job by Milwaukee as it looks like they're going to hold on and come from behind. Actually, come from behind and get this victory. Middleton with 33, 5 of 6 from 3, 10 of 10 from the charity stripe. He's a plus 28 on the court. Giannis Antetokounmpo did not make a three-pointer today, attempted 4, has 11 rebounds and 32 points. Brook Lopez, who has really improved over the last few years, his three-point shooter, he made 2 three-pointers today out of 4 attempts, and he gives you 17 points as well. Connaughton gives you 21 minutes, 11 points, and you also had Eric Bledsoe giving you 23 minutes, only 9 points in the game. So looks like the Bucks, as they're getting ready to get under a minute in this game, up 125 to 111, are going to win this one. So nice little victory for Milwaukee on the way. All right, before the break, we talked about to go from one team that's called the Bucks to the other. That's called the Bucks as well, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We've talked about the biggest storylines in football this year, and if you break it down by conference, in the AFC, to me, it is what will the Patriots be post-Tom Brady? And in the NFC, with Tom Brady going from the AFC to the NFC, will the Tampa Bay Buccaneers live up to the hype? I'm very optimistic about Tampa. I believe it's either going to be Tampa or New Orleans that wins that division. And I haven't given my official prediction yet. I know we did the simulation, but we'll go through NFL predictions once again. And I think I had the Saints and the Bucks as the same record, and the Saints had the tiebreaker. I look at this Tampa team, though. I'm really a big fan of this Tampa team, because you see what they were last year at 7-9 with a quarterback that threw 30 interceptions a game. You know the defense for Tampa Bay is going to absolutely fall in love with Tom Brady. Because even when Brady doesn't play a great season like last year, he doesn't throw many interceptions. So that's going to do wonders for a Tampa Bay defense that was number one in the league last year up against the run, but they were inconsistent everywhere else. They got a little bit hot towards the end of the season, so you wonder if they could be consistently good throughout the year. I think they can. I don't believe that Shaq Barrett is a one-year wonder, a one-hit wonder. And this is a team that has some good defensive players as well. You have the kid that they drafted last year, Devin White. So there are some good players on the defensive side of the ball for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then offensively, it's pick your poison in terms of who's going to beat you on any given day. You know, you have Brady. We all know how great Brady is. You got Mike Evans. You have Chris Godwin. You got O.J. Howard. You got Cameron Brate. Oh, yeah, don't forget about Rob Gronkowski. We talked a little bit yesterday about Tyler Johnson, who was a fifth-round pick, had a good career at Minnesota. He could do some things in this Tampa offense. I don't expect much out of LeSean McCoy. Now LeSean McCoy's there. Maybe watch out for someone that could improve drastically this year and make a few extra plays. That's Darian Gumbawale, and you got Ronald Jones in there as well. So this is a Tampa Bay team. I'm a believer. I think Tampa Bay is going to be a double-digit win team, and they're going to be a tough team to eliminate with the quarterback that they have if we do see a postseason for this upcoming season. You get to the other NFC storylines that could potentially rival, not usurp, but rival Brady in Tampa. And we start with one of the other great quarterbacks in the league, and that's Aaron Rodgers. And what will Rodgers be this year? And he's saying all the right things. He's handling this the right way since the team did draft Jordan Love going from 30 to 26. When push comes to shove, though, will this relationship be able to last? And a big thing is going to be this year, that dynamic with Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. And I anticipate, and I've said this before, where I believe that the Packers 2 years ago were 32nd in the league in terms of rushing attempts per game. They got middle of the pack this year. almost five extra carries per game from this past season. You draft the running back A.J. Dillon in the second round when you already have two good running backs in Aaron Jones, who, along with Derrick Henry, tied for the most amount of rushing touchdowns last year. And you got Jamal Williams, who's a solid player as well. When you draft A.J. Dillon and you don't take a wide receiver in a draft that was filled with wide receivers, you're telling me that you're making even more of a commitment to running the football this year. So Rodgers will still put up, you know, 4,000-something yards. He'll throw for what? Probably, let's say, 25, 26, 27 touchdown passes. I don't believe, though, the numbers are going to be as big as you would usually anticipate for one Aaron Rodgers because of the way that they commit to running the football. And look at it just in 2018. He threw 4,400 yards, a little over 4,400 yards in 2018. Last year, just got over 4,000. So it may not even be a lock that he throws for 4,000 this year. And his touchdowns last year were 26 to 4 interceptions. So expect a similar year to last year for Rodgers, where he gets, you know, right around 4,000 yards, maybe 4,100 yards. We'll throw you 28 touchdowns, 26 touchdowns to 4 or 5 interceptions. Maybe the interceptions even go down, you know, from 4 last year to maybe 2 or 3. That's a possibility because I expect the Packers to run the football. And we all know who the best player is on Green Bay. Best player still Rodgers. I get Aaron Jones, heck of a football player. I get Davante Adams, in my opinion, is a top 10 wide receiver in the league. Still the best player is Aaron Rodgers. And if you're Aaron Rodgers, yes, in the fourth quarter, you would anticipate if you're down, the ball to be in your hands and you're throwing it. If it is a third and short, you're still going to expect Rodgers to throw the football. But in the lead up to the fourth quarter, is Rodgers going to be okay with the game plan? Or where he was okay with it last year, is he going to sit back this year and go, this organization doesn't even want me anymore. We're going to do things my way. And if you don't like it, you could send me out to the highway. Because remember, the rumors that you would hear about Rodgers and McCarthy towards the end, that Rodgers wouldn't respect the play calling of McCarthy. And then there were some reports that Rodgers was going audibles at the line of scrimmage and was not liking the play calling and elected to do what he wanted to do. Will there be some tension this year between Rodgers and Matt LaFleur? That's something to watch. The other two storylines that stand out to me in the NFC, it's really, is this the last dance for Drew Brees? I do believe, as long as the season doesn't get cut short because of COVID, that this is going to be the final year for Drew Brees. And then we'll see if it's Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill for the Saints moving forward, or maybe they elect to go elsewhere to address their quarterback of the future. For Drew Brees, the last 3 years you've been close. You've come knocking on the door. You had the Minneapolis miracle not go your way. You then had the NFC title game where there should have been pass interference, didn't go your way. And last year, you let Minnesota come into your house and kick you guys out of the postseason. You did not play well. You did not play well. You fumbled the football, and you threw an interception in that game, and you had a bad turnover after a big play by Taysom Hill. So can Drew Brees get the job done this year and win a second ring? The other storyline in the NFC that stands out to me, and I'm not trying to put down the Seahawks and the 49ers because I think both those teams are going to be really good. And it wouldn't surprise me if Seattle or San Francisco's in the Super Bowl. And we saw San Francisco last year, and we know how much better Seattle got this offseason bringing in Jamal Adams. But when I look at the other big, juicy storyline in the NFC, it is the Dallas Cowboys. And you look at Dallas, are they going to win the division this year? And I know their defense isn't their strength, but there's no excuses this year for Dallas. You don't have Jason Garrett there anymore. Now you have Mike McCarthy. You have three really good wide receivers in Gallup, Cooper, and CeeDee Lamb. You got a top five running back in the league in Ezekiel Elliott. I know you don't have Travis Frederick's back, but you still have a very good offensive line led by Martin and led by Smith. You still have an abundance of talent. And your quarterback, Dak Prescott, I know they didn't get a contract done. He's still making, what, $31, $32 million this year on the franchise tag? There are no excuses this year with the offense that you have and the way that this offense should be a high-octane type of offense and should put up a lot of points. There's no excuses this year for Dallas. Just have the defense be okay, and you should win that division because I think you're a better team than Philadelphia. I don't think you have the better quarterback, but I do think you are the better team. So no excuses for Jerry Jones this year. If the Cowboys don't win, I don't want to hear about Now, maybe let's Chris Christie in the stadium. I don't want to hear about Chris Christie and Jerry Jones, which wouldn't be good for social distancing, jumping up and down. You know, I don't want to see those shots of them not jumping up and down and them frowning, all right? You know, I wouldn't be bad if they're frowning. I'd actually be okay with it. But if they let Jerry Jones in the stadium and Chris Christie comes along and you show shots of the two of them together in that press box, the shots better be happy. They better not be upsetting. Because if that's the case, I don't want to hear about any excuses from Christie or from Jerry Jones. And you see that Dallas team, they should win the division this year. It's time to start stepping up and playing consistent football, because last year, my oh my, you walked into Philadelphia and you got embarrassed up against a Philadelphia team that was decimated with injuries. So those are storylines in the NFC. In the AFC, it's what will the Pats be without Brady? That's the number one storyline, especially when you're bringing Cam Newton. You could argue that's not the number one storyline if, let's say, Jared Stidham's the quarterback, but it's going to be Cam. The other big storylines in the AFC, will the Chiefs repeat? That's a mega one. Ravens, does Lamar Jackson and Harbaugh together as a duo take that next step? We saw a good end to the regular season 2 years ago, bad playoff game against the Chargers. This past year, great regular season, tremendous. They got embarrassed up against Tennessee. Do the Ravens take that next step and not only win a playoff game, but multiple playoff games, and they may have to win three to get to the Super Bowl with the bye, only being one seed this year, but can the Ravens take that next step? And then you look at two other teams in the AFC North, Steelers with Big Ben coming back, very good defense. You know the names on there, Minka Fitzpatrick, Cam Hayward, Devin Bush, TJ Watt. Will Ben be able to stay healthy, and will that team be able to get back to the postseason? I think so. And then the other one, is this the year the Cleveland Browns get back to the postseason? Last year, disaster. This year, with seven teams making the postseason in the AFC, it's not, oh, we hope to make the postseason. No, you have to make the postseason. Because if you don't make the postseason this year, if you're Cleveland, it's more embarrassing, it's more pathetic than what it was a year ago. A lot of Hall of Fame talk with the NFL. I got a few names for you next that you may not think are Hall of Famers, but will be one day.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.